Thanks for joining us today on the East of Maine Sports Media Podcast, where tonight we got Sean Stackhouse with us, and he'll talk about what he's been up to and all that. But first, I want to let you know what's coming up here on East of Maine Sports Media on a Tuesday night, October 24th. We'll have a Class C field hockey quarterfinal game between Mountain Valley and Foxcroft, and then we'll have some more action probably this weekend, depending on who's playing. And then we'll also have the Foxcroft first football playoff game, which will be November 3rd or 4th against the winner of MCI and Winslow. That'll be at Foxcroft Academy either that Friday or Saturday coming up. But also follow on YouTube. You can get this podcast and all the podcasts on YouTube. Hit subscribe and you'll get notifications when we go live and all that. And also get this anywhere you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast, you can do that. Also, check out our new forum on the East of Maine Sports website. You know, we hope to grow that, especially by basketball season, and hope to, you know, it's up and going now, but hope to make it bigger by then. But as I said, my guest tonight is Sean Stackhouse. You know him, you know, people know him everywhere, but you know him locally from, you know, if you've ever been to MCI game, you've seen him. If you've ever been to UMaine game, you've heard him. You know, so you know, a man of that's many places, but what he's most known for around the country and world, I should say, is for being the Rocket League commentator that he is. And I'm going to take it over to Sean here, and Sean, just maybe talk about what you've been up to this past maybe 6 months to a year and what you got coming up.
I can't believe he used that background. That's insane. God, what have been up to the past year? Rocket League has been really kind of blown up over the past few years, right? I mean, while the sports world kind of shut down during the height of the pandemic, we just kind of kept going. And so I've been fortunate enough to, over the past couple of years, go to places like Kiev, to Germany, France, London, and then even just domestically out to LA, Texas, Boston for a bunch of Rocket League events. And, you know, we're selling out arenas, man. It's wild. Like this year, I can't remember if we sold out Rotterdam. I know we sold out Boston, and I'm pretty sure we sold out San Diego, and we definitely sold out the World Championship in Dusseldorf, Germany.
I've seen some of your intros. They're big time. Just this guy from Maine. This guy is known, again, nationally around the world and everything. Just talk about how this came about. You mentioned COVID. I think, you know, a lot of bad things came from COVID, but this is one of the good things that came from it. And just talk about how you started and how it all started and how this became what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, you rewind the clock back to 2015 when Rocket League came out. It had been in beta for a little while, and then as kind of like their big release, they made the game free for a month for PlayStation Plus subscribers. And I figured I'd just, why not? I lose nothing by downloading this game. So finally downloaded it, tried it. Thought, okay, this is kind of cool. This is like a sports game, but it's not like a sport. And just got okay at it. Saw some videos, saw some tournaments online. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, skill ceiling's way up here. I'm never going to reach that. So that's whatever. And then I kind of put it on the back burner for a few months. Spring of 2016 rolls around, and I start seeing stuff about this RLCS, Rocket League Championship Series. So I'm like, okay, they actually made an eSport out of this. That's cool. And I started watching some, like, weekly community-run tournaments and decided that I was kind of getting the itch to give commentary a try. You know, I had been just doing PA announcing, the occasional, I think I had done a few games for you at that point. I can't remember, but very little on radio or any video media. So decided I'd give it a try. That's what my degree in college was for. And got linked up with a couple of tournament organizers, started regularly commentating their events. And after about, let's see if this was 2016, I would say after a year and a half or so of doing it mostly as a volunteer or for very little money, I got the chance to start traveling for some. We did one at like a small net cafe, basically a gaming cafe in Texas. Did one in a ballroom in Wisconsin. And then I got hired on for my first studio show in 2018. So it really just, it's the typical sports path, right? You do something for free or for very little, right, when you start, and then eventually you get picked up by somebody at the right place at the right time. And then it snowballs from there if you get your opportunity.
That's saying something. Starts with a free trial and now look at it,
yeah, right. They got the Stacks free trial. Oh man. In hindsight, it's weird because the tournament organizer I started with, it really was run by an absolute scumbag, but they took care of me. Like, I mean, the guy stuck to his word with me for the most part. So like I have some animosity there, but it's probably misplaced.
Now just talk about maybe also we want to mention that you're also the esports coach for MCI, the defending state champion MCI Huskies. Talk about that program, and you were a huge reason why it got started. You're the coach now, but I don't think I'm being too kind of modest about this, but you're kind of the main reason it got started, aren't you?
Yeah, so going into 2020, esports was kind of on the radar for the MPA. And I had heard about it in, I want to say it was 2019, that Jim Leonard, who was the AD at the time at MCI, had approached me and said, hey, you know, this esports thing, it's coming, and I want you to be my coach. And I'm like, well, what games are we talking here? Because like, I assumed it was just going to be like League of Legends and Smite and games that I just know nothing about. And he's like, well, one of them's Rocket League. I don't know the others. I just know you do that. So I want you to coach it. Okay. So then 2020 happens. And I think that kind of accelerated things for the MPA. They're like, well, wait a minute. If we just pull the trigger now and start sanctioning esports, then in some places it might be the only show in town. And it ended up being that. I mean, I can't even remember if we had a soccer season in the fall of 2020. It was such a weird period for us, for everybody. And we started in a room in the math science building, walked in there. It had like three or four computers, and they're like these desks where the monitor is built into the desk, and you have to like pull a lever to kind of flip it up. Which, by the way, in the end, cost us two monitors because kids are like, oh, what does this do? And the monitor's sitting on top of it because we got new monitors and just falls through and crashes. But anyways, these computers were running Rocket League on maybe 30 frames per second on a good day. They're just these little toasters that would have struggled to run a spreadsheet. So, you know, I kind of mentioned it to Jim in passing. I'm like, hey, these PCs suck. Like, these are typical, like, you know, hand-me-down, okay, they work for word processing computers. They're not going to do what we need them to do. And you're like, well, I mean, look at the world right now. I don't think the board of directors is going to give you much. And I'm like, you're right. They're probably not. And so that week, I went to Best Buy and picked up three new PCs and three new monitors. And then the ball started rolling from there. And so I would say, yes, when you say I'm like a big reason. Yeah, it's not really bragging to say it. I mean, it's true. I've probably spent upwards of 20,000 over the last few years, kind of building the program up from the bottom. And now over the past couple of years, the school has really stepped up in a big way. Jason Allen, the new AD, said, you know, the school will pay for the play versus membership costs. And, you know, if you need monitors, let me know. He bought us three new monitors. He bought us like a storage cabinet. So it's like, you know, I got him off the ground, and now the school is kind of keeping it afloat. And the way that the whole MCI community has kind of embraced us and accepted us as part of the team has been awesome.
Yeah, and part of that, like any sport, you win, the community, you know, and yep. I'm not the only reason, but that's a big right. reason. You win, and, you know, just like in basketball, football, soccer, anything, the community is going to get behind you. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah. You know, I think especially the students, like I think a lot of them saw, a lot of them probably saw that image behind you, and they saw what Lucius is holding behind you. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. That's kind of cool. And you know, it's just like any sport. You can practice it at home. You can practice basketball in your driveway. You can practice Overwatch or Rocket League at home. There's a very, very low skill barrier to entry. And, you know, with just a little bit of effort, you can go a long way. And, you know, I kind of liken it to track and field, where there are, you know, in track and field, of course, you've got the javelin, the long jump, you've got the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the hurdles, and all of that. And in esports, you've got Rocket League, Madden, Overwatch, League of Legends. And at the same time, you don't need to be, you know, a peak athlete to be on the team. You just have to fill a role in a lot of cases, and especially true in esports. You don't have to be the best at anything, but if you're the right fit for the team, then, you know, we can go places.
Talk about some members of that team. You know, again, you're defending state champions. You know, hope to be there again, you know, this year. But just talk about some of your players on that team.
Yeah, so behind you over your right shoulder, I guess the viewers looking, it's going to be the left. Right next to me is Tyson. He's a sophomore now. Tyson Thompson, he's getting the full MCI experience.
I want to mention, too, during a game last year, we did have him on at halftime.
Yes.
Go back and check out that interview. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Now, he's getting the full MCI experience, because I think he's involved in just about every club he could possibly be involved in. He does cross country. I think he does tennis in the spring, plays two seasons of esports with us. I mean, he's jumped in basically whenever we've needed somebody for anything. He's willing to step up and take on a new challenge. He is awesome to have around. Lucius was a senior on that team, the one holding the trophy. And get out of the way. And you're not blocking anybody of value right now, Evan. He was kind of a goober, but he was a great asset to our Rocket League team. He jumped in on Smash, having almost never played the game before. And, you know, we absolutely needed a third. He stepped in. He fared a lot better against Cape Elizabeth's best player than he probably should have. And then on the end, you've got Scotty Martin, who's a sophomore now. He was not a player on the team at the time, because at MCI, they don't allow freshmen to do dual sports. So he did football in the fall, so he couldn't do Smash. But he definitely took up a big interest in doing so. And then he joined us for that championship as a student coach. And he actually helped out. He actually gave Tyson and Lucius some pretty good advice. So it all worked out in the end.
So when does I know you're kind of in season right now, right? So when is it typical fall season that the other sports run, or is it a little longer?
Yeah, so we run two seasons, a lot like cross country and outdoor track and field. Honestly, we run parallel to the fall sports season. Pretty much. We start right at the beginning of September, and our state championship is December 2nd. And then we do it again in the spring. And that's generally where we have a major uptick across the state in participation, because again, we're not running against football and soccer and track and field or cross country and all that. You know, the winter slash spring season hits right in that sweet spot. I think it starts usually first week of regular season will be around the week of the high school basketball tournament, maybe after. So like state championship week. And then it wraps up. Last year, our state championship in the spring was April 29th. So it's like right as tennis, baseball, softball are really getting going. But, you know, generally speaking, you can get away with doing both for a period.
What is your most memorable moment from all of this? Like that you've done, that you've got to do. What is your most, the thing that you would talk about? Like if we were just out, like you were, you know, a bunch of people just met you, and what would be the first thing, I guess I would say, brag about or just most memorable thing to you?
As far as running the esports program, easily the day we won that state championship, because, you know, we show up and everybody's completely nervous, as you would expect. We're the very first match, so we are literally the first in-person state championship match. And, you know, we had a battle with Cape Elizabeth the first time around. We played them in the regular season. We beat them, but it was not pretty. We were at the state championship. We were missing one of our players because of grades. So it's like, okay, you know, we'll see what happens. And Tyson goes up there, guy that he probably felt like he should have beat easily, had to go the distance, I think, or at least went game 4 out of 5, I think it was. I mean, he got a battle and he came out on top. Cool. Evan goes up against Cape's best player. Gets bodied, whatever, it happens. That's kind of what we expected. And then Lucius goes up against a player that he's beaten before, and he goes down 2 games in a best of 5 and comes all the way back to win games 3, 4, and 5. And as he gets the final strike on his opponent, I don't think he actually waited to see if his opponent went off the stage in the game. He jumped out of his chair, ran down the ramp, and was already celebrating with us by the time game showed up on the screen. It was just, it was epic. And yeah, that's the moment that I'm never going to forget, because it was kind of this culmination of what we've been building since the previous year.
And that kind of tells everybody how much the community and these kids and MCI kind of means to you, because you've done a lot individually. And the first thing you mentioned is, you know, winning that state championship, you know, how much that meant to the kids and everything. That kind of says a lot, because I honestly was expecting you to say something in Paris or something, you know, but the first thing you think of is winning that state championship, which says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the individual accolades that I've had, sure, they're cool and certainly proud of them. But being part of a team accomplishing what we did when, I mean, I'll be honest, at no point during the season did I think, hey, we actually are the best. And we kind of grew into that. And then to overcome what we had, I mean, listen, we had another freshman alongside Tyson at the time that I might have taken that 1-2 punch against anybody in the state. But then when we lost him, it's like, oh boy, you know, all of a sudden we got to earn this. And everybody stepped up huge, especially Lucius, and being able to get that out of everybody and experience that with them was awesome.
Are the expectations different this year?
The expectations are a little different, because more people are getting involved now. More schools across the state, especially more freshmen, are coming in and showing, hey, wait a minute, you know, there might be a new contender here. Because we did not win the spring. Freeport did. And So, you know, I guess we're the reigning fall champions in Smash Bros. But, you know, we're seeing a lot of young talent come in across the state in a bunch of titles. And it's only going to get tougher as more and more teams get in.
Now, it's going to get tougher, but you must love that because that's growing what this is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as awesome as winning that championship was, I might have actually been slightly more proud of the Rocket League team that was runner-up in the spring that of this past year, because I think they had an even tougher uphill climb to get to where they were at in a much deeper league, and the obstacles that they had to overcome to reach their goal, they were just come anywhere close to it, it was a daunting task. And they came together and they pulled it off. And that's going to continue. You know, more teams are going to get involved in the fall, and then it's going to explode in the spring. And yeah, for the bar to keep getting higher and higher, you know, it gives everybody like us something to chase.
That's great. And now we're going to, we talked about what you're best known for, and now we're going to talk about some local stuff. Let's start with UMaine. You're very involved in UMaine. It seems like good stuff's happening there. The hockey team's getting back, not quite to where they used to be, but that's going to take some time. But they're getting there. The season tickets sales are going up. People are getting interested. Talk about that hockey team and maybe what it would mean to the campus for them to be relevant again, which they are getting there.
I'm sure somebody has the data and they can probably make this sound a lot less impressive than I'm going to make it sound like. Pretty sure we sold out at least one, maybe both games of the opening weekend. And I can't remember the last time that's happened on opening weekend. You know, I know there's usually, like, I don't think there's been as much hype over this team, and especially a new player like Nadeau, since Mitch Fossier, maybe. And, you know, and I remember, like, he had an electric debut. So too did Nadeau. And I'm seeing just a lot of parallels there. And the team looks really, really impressive now. You know, I think everybody knew that UMaine knocked it out of the park when they hired Ben Barr. And what he's done to keep things rolling along here has been spectacular.
And let's turn to the women's basketball team. Always in the past, whatever, since Amy Vashon got there, they've been the program on campus. They're picked second in the America East this year. And, it's never rebuilding right now, is it? It's kind of just reloading. And they're picked second. I'm sure her and the in that locker room, they expect to win the conference, though. What about that program? What do you expect from them this year?
I think it says an awful lot about a program, and especially a coach like Amy, where you get players that are clearly good enough to go to a more prestigious conference than America East. And they not only keep coming back, but they use their, the full extent of their eligibility. Some of them, if they've been here for 4 or 5 years or whatever they get, now they have that extra COVID year, and they're using that because they want to come back and they want to finish the journey, finish the story with Coach Vashon. And that is awesome to see. It's a testament to how she's run this program since taking over and the community that's been built up in Orono. It's a destination. I know people will always say, like, how do you recruit up in Orono? I don't know. Maybe just look at the women's basketball program. Look at what Ben Barr is doing with hockey. Look what Mark Wood's about to do with men's basketball. You get there by just being a good recruiter. It's not rocket science. You know, you're never going to get, like, your Cooper Flags to come here, sure. But, you know, you're going to get really good talent as long as you pitch that this is a great community. We've got goals. We're going to focus on them, and we can achieve them as a team. That's what they're doing.
And you mentioned Chris Mockwood and the men's basketball team. They're picked fifth in the America East, but that's You said the other teams.
That's a monumental growth for them, right? Yes. I mean, you know, that's been a program that has been in the dumpster for far too long. And, you know, whether it's one reason or another, you talk about guys coming back. Kellen Tynes is coming back. Like, you know, a guy that might have been one and done, move on to another school somewhere. He's like, no, let's run it back. And I think, you know, the Markwood hire is, I think, going to prove it in an era where we've had some pretty good ones, going to prove to be the best hire in a long time.
Yeah, and you know, could you see them? I mean, they picked for fifth, but could you see them in the mix once America East,
comes on? Oh yeah, no question. You know, they're going to be a lot of games that in past years they would have been able to get within 4 or 5 points at some point in the second half and then lose by 25. They're going to win those games. They've already started winning those games. And they're going to have, I have a feeling for most of the games, because I think they're only playing a couple in the pit or in the cross center. For those games in the pit, I have a feeling the football team's going to show up and a whole bunch of students are going to come with them. And while I wasn't at the game, I know they had the Bryant coach fuming mad, and that crowd rattles people when they're not expecting it in a small little America East school. So I'm really excited, not just for what's going to be happening on the court, but the cacophony of noise around us.
That's what home court advantage is all about.
Yes, sir.
Talk about somebody you mentioned, Cooper Flagg. You know, we've never seen anything like this in this state. And may never again. But it's just incredible. Obviously he's now a senior. You know, he's going to be playing big time college basketball next year. This time he's going to, talk about him, and have, you know, we've never seen anything like in any sport, really, have we?
No, and I think the reason that we haven't is because we have like this defeatist mentality, right? It's like, well, nobody's ever done it, so nobody's ever going to. So, you know, don't worry about thinking about it. It's like, no. Why not me, right? And, you know, someone like Cooper is just a generational talent in not just this state, but in this region. You know, this in the Northeast, they don't grow on trees. And it's, I think the funniest part of all of this is, if not for the existence of Cooper Flagg, we'd all still be talking about Ace. Like, sure, he is decidedly in his shadow, but also pretty dang good. So, I mean, you've got two brothers that are just exceptionally talented. And listen, they didn't do it by having mom and dad bully the rec director or the coach or raise a fuss to the AD over playing time. It's like, you do it by, first of all, instilling a love for the game and fostering that and going wherever they go. You know, you don't force them into basketball. You let them accept it, find out that they love it and want to excel, and then you give them the tools to do that. That's what the Flags have done. Yeah, he's going to play 1 year of college. So I see the jokes like, so why not at Maine? But no, he's going to go to Duke. You know, they're going to buy him a car, or they're going to do whatever that they can with the NIL stuff. He's going to make a boatload of money. He's going to go play in the NBA, barring anything catastrophic. And he's going to be the guy that we talk about in the state when we talk about basketball for several decades.
Yeah, the story's just beginning there. Let's touch on high school sports here. Let's start with high school football. You know, the playoffs are starting, except for Class A right now. What have you seen this year? I mean, obviously, you've got the favorites, Levittson Class C, Foxcroft in Class D. You know, maybe the other classes are a little bit more up in the air. But what have you seen this football season?
A lot of bad football, but some real good bright spots. because again, I think I've seen maybe one, two, maybe non-Class D games. And listen, Class D, I we lived that life here when MCI was running the LTC, and even before and after that. Class D is what it is. It's Foxtrot Academy's territory. And, you know, I saw Winslow put up a fight, good on them. But then the second I turned that game on, it was like the tail end of the third quarter, all through the fourth. It just looked like every other Foxtrot Academy game I've ever seen. So I don't know what happened in the first, 30 some odd minutes of that game. But, in the end, Foxtrot is Foxtrot. Levitt is phenomenal. Levitt has built this up over time too, because I mean, even before the pandemic, they were exceptional. They were having some epic battles with Winslow, if I remember correctly. And it was kind of like, okay, it's Levitt, MCI, Winslow are like the three teams that we're looking at in Class C, and everybody else is looking up going, ah, boy, I wish we could be like them. What they have built there. Levitt has low key been, for as long as I've been following high school sports, so basically you go back to when I was in high school in the early 2000s, Levitt has been a program across the board that a lot of schools should look at and start asking questions like, how do we do this here? Because, I mean, you remember they had the Anderson girls that, one went to New Hampshire, one went to Maine, and coaches, you've got what they've done with football. If I remember right, baseball has been pretty damn good as well. Like, they have been awesome. And yeah, everybody else should be kind of looking at them wondering how they can do it.
Yeah. And then what I like too is, and I hope it kind of translates to other sports, they played up, they played at Oxford Hills and Thornton. They beat them both.
That's so funny too, because they're going to go from these Oxford Hills and Thornton games to playing in the Class C playoffs, and they'll be like, well, all right boys, get ready to suit up for a half of football. Credit to them, man. I mean, they're under no obligation to do so, but they felt like they had something to prove. They're like, hey, we can take these teams on, why not? Worst thing that happens, they beat us by 20 and everybody goes, see, the A team beat the C team. No, they go in and they dominated Thornton in the second half. That's insane. I think a lot of schools would have run away from that. And they took that challenge head on.
It actually happened in field hockey this year. Winthrop beat
yes.
So, as I said, hopefully it kind of translates into other sports and it happens. Let's touch on basketball. That's a season coming up. That's, I would say, in Maine, probably the most popular sport. People tune into our broadcast, HOU, other broadcasts around the state, and people fill the gyms all winter. So I would say, definitely popularity-wise, it's the most popular. What are you looking forward to in basketball season?
I'm just looking forward to see things evolve over time. I mean, I think over the last couple of years, we've seen just the way the sport has evolved has finally hit Maine, where, we're seeing kind of a lot less of the old guard in charge, and you're seeing games kind of moving along with a little more flow, a little more pace to them. I don't know what to expect out of, the local teams around here. People start moving around a little bit more, I think. And, we're seeing travel basketball have more of an influence, because now people are, it's not quite free agency, but we're seeing people kind of move towns and such. And it feels like it's happening more than it used to. I am curious to see. I think we're seeing, especially with coaches, coaches are shuffling around a lot more than I can remember. And with that, you're seeing kind of new philosophies hit areas that have been kind of the status quo for a while. I mean, Dexter's got their third ever basketball coach now on the boys' side.
Well, talk about him, because was the girls' coach at MCI did a good job with that with them. Obviously, with Dexter, they just lost Will Kuznias, so no matter who was coaching, they were going to probably take a step back a little bit. But I think they get it right. He graduated from Dexter, Matt Bartlett, and he know, he's a Dexter kid, and you know, I think that's a good choice for them. You know, as yeah. as you mentioned, Ed Gursky and Peter Murray have been the only two coaches ever. He's the third, and in my opinion, it's the right choice. What do you think of him?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's young, he's smart, he's very passionate about it. I mean, you know, what I saw from him at MCI was somebody who probably you can tell when a coach is worth wins when you look at, say, the talent on the court and then what the coach can get out of them. And I feel like Matt was probably worth at least 3 or 4 more wins over like your average coach with that team, at least. You know, I think that he really did a great job connecting with the team, getting them to play well together. And even in times where, you know, somebody was out with an injury or just not able to play, you know, he was able to come up with a plan to work with what he had. And if not get a win, certainly make a game a lot more competitive than it necessarily might have been. I think he definitely left the basketball program in a better place than it was when he walked in, and that's really all you can ask out of anybody. I think he's going to do a phenomenal job at Dexter, but he's going to need, I mean, listen, they've only had 3 coaches ever. It's not like parents are going to railroad anybody out of town, but you know, he might have to survive that if, you know, the natives get a little restless, if they're not immediately at the top.
Yeah, I mean, we did an interview with Coach Murray last year, and he mentioned he went through years where they won 2 or 3 games, and you know, you know, I'm not saying Dex is going to be like that this year, but you know, gotta have patience because they don't have the Wilkesnias anymore. They will be right there in the mix, but they're not the Class C favorite. So you know, see how they do. Kind of want to end this by just you mentioned it, you talking about what you got coming up for yourself personally, like esports wise, and maybe where you can hear. Yeah, I know you do PA for UMaine games and stuff like that. And you know, just talk about where people can find you on social media.
I'm on Twitter primarily at StaxRL, StaxRL. The X is there just because it's, you know, it's edgy, it's new, it's modern or something. I am, by the way, nominated for the Esports Awards, Host of the Year. So if people want to vote, it's very similar to the Eastern Maine Sports Athlete of the Week voting, except you can vote every day, not every 30 minutes, or I think whatever time limit you have. But if you go to esportsawards.com/vote/STAX, you can see, I believe that takes you to the Host of the Year category, and you can vote for me once a day up until November 20th, I think, is when they close the voting. And then the award show itself is November 30th. I'm planning on heading out there to Las Vegas for that show and may or may not be a part of it in some way, and maybe hopefully holding up a little trophy at the end and giving a little tear-sodden speech about, oh, I'm so happy, I'm so proud, thank you all, thank you all. It was overwhelming when I saw that I was on the list. It's like, I don't know, like, how to go about the rest of my day now without just feeling like I've got this massive ego now. But yeah, that's something I'm definitely proud of. We've got, of course, you mentioned our high school season, esports. We're right at the halfway mark. We got a big matchup Wednesday with Cape Elizabeth, actually. Rocket League's taking on Caribou. Our Mario Kart team is playing a doubleheader. So we've got that going on. At some point, I want to try and stream those matches on my Twitch page, twitch.tv/StaxRL. But we're not quite there yet with our technology. So yeah, that's pretty much it. If you go to the Class C and D North Football Championship games, I'll be PA for those. The 11th, I think.
And the regional final? Yes.
Yes, at Hamden. It's good that I know what the dates are, considering, you know, I'm working them. And on the hockey front, I've started taking over like a host / MC role in Alphonse Arena instead of doing the PA announcing, which poor Steve is up opposite where he normally is, up in like the back row of seats. I don't know why they stuck him up there, but that's where PA is now. I get to roam around with the mic and do all the trivia and promos and on ice stuff, and it is going to be a blast. And you do not want to miss what we've got in store on November 10th. That's all I'm going to say. That series with, is it BC, I think? We're going to have some fun in Alphon Arena that weekend.
Well, there you go. You got a busy weekend that weekend. Yeah, you got the.
I do. Yeah, the two hockey games and then the two football games. Oh yeah, no, it's. I am well aware of how crazy that weekend is going to be.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me, Sean. Always great to talk with you. One last thing though, you kind of near the bottom. We got the football predictions. You seem to be kind of closer to the bottom than the top on that.
Yeah, so I want to actually walk you through my process now for making predictions. So, like, here I've got, like, some dice, right? Actually, I got, like, a 12-sided die here, right? And I got this cup so that, you know, it won't fall off the table. And so, like, when you come up with the list of games, like, what did you come up with this week? You had, it's a bunch of people I don't care about. Let's see. Yeah, Edward Little Lewiston. Now, okay, I didn't use the dice for that one. That was pretty obvious. But let's say like Wyndham and Bonnie Eagle, right? I don't know anything about Wyndham and Bonnie Eagle, but you know what I do? I go, you know, all right, Wyndham is odds, Bonnie Eagle is evens. And we got odds. Now, I think I actually took Bonnie Eagle, but you know what? That's because at this point, who cares? When I'm looking up at, hold on, where's this list of standings here? Let's see. Come on. Oh God, why do we talk so much in this group chat? Like, please. And oh my gosh, Lesnar, stop talking so much. It's clearly Chris Lesnar. He's the one yapping all the time. It's not me. Who's some of the people I'm looking up at on a regular basis here? Well, when I'm looking that far up at you, yes, I know that trying to actually guess who is going to win games is whatever. But you, sir, are falling. And you are falling fast. I just want to point out, there are more people behind me than there are between you and me. And there's still time for you, just like Dexter does every time I pick them, to choke, choke, choke.
But, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I've got 52 wins. You've got, what, 47, so.
Yeah, well, that's only five, man. That's only five. And by the way, 9-1 this week. In a week where everybody was like 9-1 and 10-0, what were you? Were you like 7-3? Oh, on the easiest week of all time.
Oh, this one coming up would be 10-0.
I don't know. And then you and Tracy had the same record. She got to stop listening to you.
probably by this point. Good thing Lesnar and Andrew Hart's not listening.
I know, right? Yeah, Lesnar's in a league of his own. I hate to say it, but Chris Lesnar either knows ball or he sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah, probably a little ball. But anyway, again, I want to thank you, Sean, and I want to thank you all for tuning into this. Subscribe, hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. You can listen to this on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcast. And we got some broadcasts coming up Tuesday night. We got a field hockey game. Tune into that and more playoff action here in the next week or two. In what, about 6 weeks, we'll be at opening night. I think we're going to be Panquist, Dexter at Panquist opening night, December 8th.
Now, are you going to be okay? Like, you don't have a Foxtrot game to broadcast this week.
Field hockey.
You don't have a football game to broadcast this week, though. I know. No. Are you just going to, like, set up a camera there for, like, 3 hours? And you should do a podcast Friday night from Oaks Field.
Yeah, we could talk about all the other games going on, right? Because they didn't have to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. I could get the ratings up. But anyway, Sean, I want to thank you. We'll do this again sometime. Maybe if you win a state championship, we'll have your team on and have you on with your team. And that would be a lot of fun if that happens. But either way, I know you're doing well with them and everything's, that's all growing. So congratulations.
Hey, thank you for having me on, sir.
Thank you.